Praise the Lord. I just had to go pick up some stuff on this. Anyhow, there's this tall guy in Alabama named Eddie Miller. You guys all know Eddie Miller, and he's a tall black guy. He was incarcerated for many years, and now he's back in serving in prison as a chaplain and as a minister to God's people. What? It's on. Really? Right. Okay, can you hear me now? Okay. All right. Okay, so anyhow, I don't know. I feel comfortable moving around more than standing right up here. All right, can you hear me now? Okay. That's the day and age we live in. Can you hear me now? Anyhow, Eddie Miller always starts any presentation that he gives, message. He actually went along with We Care, the tour that We Care gave in the spring one year. And, you know, he always starts out, praise the Lord. And he doesn't stop until everybody's saying, praise the Lord. So let's say that together. Praise the Lord. It was a blessing this morning, all the message of redemption from the Sunday school lesson. And the one song that we sang about, I will sing of my Redeemer, says, I will sing, for I cannot be silent. And the psalm that you read, what was the psalm, Shane? Psalm 61. It talked about sharing of what God has done. So, I mean, there was verses in there talking about. So that's what we want to do this morning. And I want to start with us all standing up again. If you can, stand up again if you care to. And I would like us to all say to someone near you, I love you. And I want to say I love you all. And I love you. Yeah, so good. Thank you. Thank you for that. You could sit down. Miriam did a little test a couple years back. You know, our past generation, in my experience, my reference point, probably may be different with you. But our parents dearly loved us. I mean, they provided for us, and they showed their love in that way. But they never said it. You know, they never said, I love you. So Miriam wanted to do this test a couple years ago on Mother's Day and on Father's Day. She called each one separately, and I should let her share this. But she told each one of them, I love you. And there was only one of our four parents that said, I love you back. Some of them would say, it's a nice day or whatever. The weather's nice, you know. So I would like us to never let it become. I tell the young people in the trailer, the donut shop, and wherever I can, I tell them never let it become awkward to say I love you. Because, you know, I think a lot of the inmates that are incarcerated, and if not most, don't know the love of God. They don't know really what it's like to receive and to understand the love of God. They understand the law. That's why they're in prison. You know, they're locked up because of the judgment that was given to them. They understand the law, but they don't really understand love. And there's nothing in the system that teaches them about love. I mean, all the classes that they can have. I mean, there are, I guess, chaplaincy classes and stuff that teach them about love. But anyhow, I'd like to talk about that a little bit. And if we could hand these cards out again. Andrea, can you hand some out? And our daughter Andrea is with us this morning. She has actually taken over some of our administration work at Stripes Donuts because it's just, I can't do it, and I don't like to do it, and she likes to do it, so we're letting her do it. Anyhow, she's here this morning. And these cards, I already handed you out. I did hand you out cards the last time I got up and shared. They were 22 cards, and this is actually not a We Care card. It's a Straight Through Sweatshirt of Hope, which is another event that we do up in Pennsylvania. Last year, this year was the first year we got to do this event. It's called the Hope Event. And so we became hope dealers. Instead of dope dealers, we were hope dealers. And anyhow, that's another thing you can pray about, because we do this is up in Pennsylvania. We do this Sweatshirt of Hope thing that we do. But that's what I think the last prison we was at this year, we gave all the calendar cards away, so the only ones I had left were these. So I'm just giving you these as an example of what we give out to all the inmates in Alabama when we share these donuts. And the verses, let's just stop a little bit and look at the verses. It's that taken out of Romans chapter 5, and it's from the New Living Translation. But these verses talk about the love of God, and I want to talk about a little bit before we get started. I want to, of course, sort of set the stage about the motive. You know, why do we go to prison? Why do we even go to any prisons, and particularly Alabama prisons? Yeah. Why? I mean, what would make somebody do that? And so here in these verses on this card, it talks about, you know, we have access to God, the peace that God gives us. We have access to God's peace. In the next verse, it talks about we have access to His grace. It says, because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege. That's God's grace. Undeserved privilege is God's grace. So we have access to God's grace. And then it goes on, it says, and we confidently and joyfully run. Wait a minute, I jumped this. We confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. So, and then it says, and all these things help us to display God's glory. So we actually get to display God's glory through the love that has been given to us by the Holy Spirit in verse 5. And this hope will not lead us to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because He has given us of the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. So, and also, I was thinking a little bit about that, about love. And so, you know, God's love is manifested to us through Jesus Christ. And there's verses that talk about, you know, why are we here? To worship God. And so one of the, that's why we're created, to worship God. I mean, that's why we're here. That God created us to worship Him. And one of the, a phrase from John Piper is, it says, missions exist. He said, missions exist because worship doesn't. So any effort we put forth in sharing God's love is to bring people to worship God, whether it's here on Runyon's Creek or whether it's in Alabama prisons, wherever we are, is to draw people to worship God. Every effort put forth should be for that reason. And so that's kind of the reason we go to Alabama prisons. The reason, you know, the motive behind it is to draw people to worship God. And I want to talk a little bit more about that later. But this year we started, we had 12 volunteers this year. Six of them were former volunteers, and six of them were new volunteers. And so there's three of us here this morning that are going to share. And there was 12 volunteers this year, plus Don Metzler, who is the president of We Care. He helped, either him or the vice president, Kevin, go along with us each day and kind of help to set, you know, do the, you know, connections and everything that goes into prisons. So there was 12 of us, and Miriam and I, Jim Nolte, Marcus Zimmerman, Jason and Donna Zimmerman from Pennsylvania were the six former volunteers. And then there was Wendell Hurst from Pennsylvania, Larray and Marilyn Rosenberry from Winchester, Virginia, and Ezra Sims from Pensacola, Florida, and Timothy Slayball, which is Steve Slayball's son. You all know Steve Slayball from Morning View. His son, Timothy, moved to Ohio. He was with us and did all the mixing. He ran the mixers. And then Glenn Stahlsfuss, who's here with us this morning. So we're going to start. Miriam wants to go next, and then Glenn Stahlsfuss. They can share their perspectives. And then I want to get up and I have a couple more things I want to say, but they're going to share and whatever's on their hearts.
Well, Miller, you said about drinking coffee. Some people smoke to relax, and some people drink coffee to relax. And I probably could use another cup right now. I think it's empty, right? I think it's empty down there. But anyhow, when I think of Alabama, I think this is, what year did we go? I think it's been, we've been there 11 years. How many? 11 years with... Yeah, the first year making donuts, but the first year of doing, I mean, I've been to, 2010 was our first year. So we've been there for the Renew Hope. And I probably am going to touch a little bit on Renew Hope. And so when I think of Alabama, I think of this verse in John 4, 35. And I think for those that have been in Alabama, when I read this verse, it'll make sense. Lift up your eyes and look into the fields, for they are white and ready for harvest, and the Alabama inmates wear white. Now, when you'd read, and some of the versions actually take that word white out, and they just say look into the fields, and in Matthew it just talks about looking into the fields, that they're ready to harvest. But if you notice that this one was right after Jesus talked to the Samaritan woman, and incidentally the Samaritans were white. And so when Jesus, when I used to read this verse and think, oh, that, you know, you think of a field of cotton or whatever, and it's ripe and that. But, you know, Jesus was actually references. The Samaritans were ready for the gospel. And they answered a little bit later in verse 42 where it says, we no longer believe just because of what we heard. Now we heard it ourselves. And we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. So the fields were definitely white. The Samaritans were ready. And when I think of Alabama and going into the prison down there, they're white and they're ready. Like when we go in there, they know Renew Hope. And they know Donut Days now. We've made the connection around. But, you know, I remember my first time going into prison being scared to death, you know, wasn't my plan. It was Mr. Strait here decided we were going to Alabama. And I told him, well, you go. I don't, you know, you just go. It'll be fine. And he was like, no, we're both going. And so we went to Alabama. And our journey there ended up, yeah, a crisis in itself when Carl and I got into some type of an argument right around the middle of Tennessee. And you know, Dee, neither one of us remember what the argument was about, and I don't think God wants us to remember the argument, because I do remember of saying, well, why are we going to Alabama to help anybody when we need help ourselves? Let's turn around. Let's go back home. And, you know, Carl just drove on to Alabama, and I just had to ride along. And I tell everybody we plastered a smile on our face and went into the orientation, you know how it is, and then you get back into your room, and I don't think we said much, I don't know. And the next day, till the first day of going into prison and how it ministered to both of us in a way that, how they were so ready and so eager to hear. And so God made us forget that argument and took us to Alabama. And, you know, if you can picture a big prison and the razor wires, and you know, we've all seen pictures, but to actually go there, and then as you walk in and the doors click behind you, slam behind you, okay, you know, and you're there until somebody is going to let you out. You know, it doesn't matter if you're in there for ministry, until one of the officers leave you out, that door is shut and you're inside that. And you know, like I went in that first day kind of scared and, you know, looking around. And but one of the things that I do is actually observe eyes, and eyes tell you a lot. And as I walked in that day and saw this group of ladies, you know, you see hurting eyes, you see eyes full of hatred, you see some hopelessness and eyes of just maybe staring numb. Like some of them have just got there, and so they're just numb to what is going to happen to me next. And you just look around, and it's like you kind of, you know, they tell you, you know, go meet somebody, and, you know, you look at all of these people, and you think, who am I going to talk to? What am I going to say? And I remember particularly this one lady, one of my first times in, when I went to her, I walked to her. She looked somewhat confused, I'm not sure. And I said to her, can I pray for you? Yes, she said, you can. She said, my family right now is at this moment right before the parole board, and I want to make parole. And I thought, how do you give this woman hope? Because I can't tell her that, yeah, we're going to pray and you're going to make parole tomorrow morning. You know, there's no way for me to say that. But I said, sure, I'll pray for you. And then it came to my mind, and I said to her, you know, one night Jesus agonized all night in prayer, and the next morning he still faced the cross. So I told her, I said, we're going to pray that you can make parole. But tomorrow, I can't promise you that tomorrow you have made that. You know, tomorrow you might be in here for however many years. And incidentally, the next morning I met a very smiling woman who had made the parole and was able to rejoice with her and, you know, pray with her in that. But then as we went through that week, there was three of us. I was in Montgomery that year at the Montgomery work release, and there was three ladies, and we were going to give our prayer. I told them to give their prayer request, and we were going to pray for them. And one of them prayed for her family. I'm not sure. One of them, I will never forget her prayer, and I don't know where Natasha is, but Natasha wanted me to pray that she would never get out of prison. And I was like, Natasha, I really can't pray that for you. What am I going to pray? How can I pray? And she said, you know, when I leave here, I have no family. I don't know where to go. I get a bus ticket and $10. And she said, the only thing I know to do is to use that $10 to get back in here because I'm safe. You know, what a life. And, you know, I don't know where Natasha is. Maybe she's still in the prison system. I don't know. You know, but that was her prayer. And so, you know, day after day, you sat with them, and you listened to heartache story after heartache story. But, you know, in a way, they're not in there because they chose to do good. It was a choice that they made in life. We talked about Ruth making a radical choice, and these girls made choices. A lot of those girls had been to Sunday school and had been to church their life. They, you know, Alabama's down there in the Bible Belt. They all knew the songs, and they all, you know, but they had made a wrong choice, which got them into the prison system. And, you know, the repeat system, the repeat of going out and coming back in. I'm not even sure what it is, but it's more than 50% that come back into the prison system. And, you know, as I looked at them and as I thought of my own life, I thought, you know, if it wouldn't be for the grace of God, there go I, you know. And so we do have an opportunity to tap into God's grace. But at the same time, to be able to listen to those people's stories and to grieve with them and to hurt with them, even though we don't necessarily identify the whole way with them, but to be able to sit down and listen, not necessarily to what they do. I remember in the first orientation that I was in, they were like, now when you sit down beside somebody and they tell you what they did, don't give a holy gasp, like, what? You know, you kind of got to be a little bit whatever. And some of them do want to share their story of what their journey that took them into prison. Others just want you to be their friend. And, you know, I ended up then from Montgomery then moving up into the Birmingham area and becoming the team leader there for years. Many years, I think I took Sharon's place. She was team leader there in Birmingham in 1 year when I was half dead on the couch sick. Carl volunteered me to the president of WeCare that I would be the team leader. And I was like, what did you just tell him? And he said that you would be the team leader. And I was like, no. And then I'm not sure why Sharon didn't go that year. Okay. Yeah. So, I went up to, and one of the things that I would tell the team as we gathered in the mornings before we would go in, that you would always have a little time together, was to be sure to put on the armor of God, because you are not unprotected. You know, just because you know God and just because you're not the inmate, you are not always protected. And so we would try to put that armor on. We would talk about the armor of God before we would go into prison. And which then, after however many years, Carl got this big idea that we were going to take this big rig of a donut trailer to Alabama and make donuts for the inmates. And, you know, we're going to make 2 donuts for every inmate, which when you stop and think, there isn't a prison down there that has less than 1,000 people in, besides maybe some of the women work releases. You know, so you're making 2,000 donuts plus the staff, and I'm just like, what? I just absolutely told him that he was nuts. And he just kind of looked at me, just like he kept driving to Tennessee. He just kept saying, we're... You know, so anyhow, you know, the very first year at the last minute, I didn't go to that. He went to Bibb County. That was the prison that he had given donuts or was at Renew Hope with. And he went there, and there was no ladies when. It was just, I meant no ladies from as far as volunteers from the donut crew. And then, we used the staff. They went down one day, did the donuts the next day, and turned around and came home. And Carl was so excited. Oh, he was so excited. And he could not wait until the next year when we were going back to do donuts again. And we're not just going to do one prison. We're going to do 3. I think we did 4. It turned out to be 4. But, you know, that was his thing. We're going to do 3. And you're going to go along. He said, you're going to love it. And, you know, on and on. The only thing that I could think of was like, yeah, we're going to drag out of bed at 3 o'clock in the morning. And then we're going to, you know, whatever. That turned out to be a real good experience also. And we've been going every year since. And we get volunteers to go with us, which is just a neat thing. And, you know, I wanted to go back when we do Renew Hope and when we do Donut Days and we meet new people, new volunteers that are coming in. In 4 short days, I think Glenn can testify to this, you become family. In just 4 short days, you learn to know each other and, you know, you get back together and you pray together in the evenings and that. And this particular, you also learn to know inmates after being there for 10 plus years. Some inmates have been there that many years. You become first name basis. You know, they know you. You know. So this year, we did not do donuts at Birmingham Work Release on the premises, but we and the ladies got to take donuts into Birmingham, into the work release, into the prison that I go into, which was a neat thing because we haven't had Renew Hope due to COVID. And I don't even know what I thought when I went in. I knew I was going to see some people or whatever. And, you know, we walked through those doors, and this girl said, hey, Miriam. And I turned around, and there was Libby, which has been there. And I was like, oh, Libby. She was happy. And she was like, Miriam, I'm a grandma now. And I said, oh, Libby, that's so neat. And she had a picture of this little grandchild. And I don't know why Libby's in prison, but I did say this time to her, oh, when are you going to see Libby? When is your end of sentence? And she said, oh, I don't have an end of sentence. I'm here with life without parole. And, you know, my heart broke for her, but she was happy. She was like, no, it's COVID right now, so they're still restricted, and her grandchild can't come in to see her. Her daughter is 24. And Libby has been in prison for 22 years, which meant that her daughter was 2 years old and when her mother went to prison. But, you know, Libby knows the Lord in there, and Libby is happy. And maybe God has Libby there for a reason, because who knows what Libby would do if she was out. And you know, my mind always goes back to Natasha, how that she felt protected there. And so... you know, it's just a heartbreaking story, and yet the fields are white, the fields are ripe, and they're ready to harvest. And I think people do ask us at times, why do you go? What makes you go to Alabama? And, you know, and part of it is the prison system in Virginia is not open to allow in the same thing as Alabama does, although on the 13th of December, my husband actually got us into a state prison in Virginia, Coffeewood, that we're going to do donuts at and do a service. We get to go in, which is, kind of something we're looking forward to. I think we have some volunteers going along here. But people ask, why do you do that? And, you know, 1 year, I thought about that. And we go into what? I think like about 22 prisons over Renew Hope, 22 prisons. And so you think, or maybe more than that. Yeah. Anyhow, most of them have at least 1,000 inmates in, and some have 2,000. Limestone has how many? And so, yeah, you know, just a lot. So when you think of that, that's a lot of people incarcerated. And you can think, oh, my dear, that's a lot of people in prison. But guess what? That many souls are going to spend eternity somewhere. And that makes me go. Because somebody needs to give them the love of God. And if it just reaches one soul, that is one soul that's going to spend eternity in heaven. And that keeps me going.
Well, she is speaking.
Good speaker?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She says she talked a lot. Yeah, she
talked. Oh, she talked, not talked. No break.
Well, I don't drink coffee, but I kind of wish I'd have something to... I'm not used to being up front. And I'll try and keep things organized here so that you can understand a little bit about what I'm saying. I think about family. Miriam mentioned how we kind of became a family in Alabama this last time. I suspect you do every year, whoever's volunteering. And we've just celebrated Thanksgiving, and we were supposed to kind of go around the table and say what we were thankful for, and everybody, I think, mentioned family. It's, you know, family is something that holds us together, and we can talk to them about just whatever we want to, and we are communicating beings. We need to talk and listen. And so I think about my immediate family and how they have supported me over the years, starting out with my mom and dad and my siblings, and then more recently, my married Melinda and my married family. So we all have immediate family to one degree or another. And another part of my family is friends. The folks that I met going to Alabama, we talked about down there. We talked about how they're our family, and
I'm a little disappointed.
So when I think about family, I think about one of the inmates that I talked with. He said when I gave him his little box of two donuts, he thanked me for coming, and he said, you're my first visitor in over a year. Or I think he said in a year. And the inmate beside him said, it's been more than 2 years since he had a visitor. And I thought, you know, if we wouldn't have come there and I wouldn't have met him that day, how many more years might have it been? And he was excited about me talking to him. And I had to think about, who does he have to talk to in prison? Probably a lot of the inmates. I mean, they fight and they don't get along. Some do, but you know, he seemed like he was probably more of a quiet person and probably didn't communicate a whole lot. And so what's his mind thinking about all these different days that he's in there? And what are his hopes and dreams? Probably there's not many, especially dreams. And so I realized that friendships and family are really, really important. When Carl asked me about going the first time, it was about a little over a year ago, and I thought, yeah, I think that would be kind of fun to do that. And I will say that it was enjoyable. I wouldn't say that meeting those, at least some of those inmates, were fun. I don't think it was necessarily fun, but it was so rewarding. And that's the thing that, you know, in some ways I think I went down there to help the inmates, but I think I was probably helped as much as anyone that I helped. So my expectations were somewhat, I didn't know what really to expect going down there. You know, I knew we were going to be making donuts. That's about the only thing that I knew for sure. And after being there for even just a half a day, you know, the first thing we did was we went and made donuts. We didn't go right into the prison. So we spent quite a lot of time making donuts. And that was an experience in itself. I'd never made a donut before in my life. But I found out that I could make a donut in almost seconds. I mean, just rolling out the dough, you flip about 6 or 8 donuts out all at one time, just like that. And I mean, that wasn't the donut that you eat. I mean, it was the beginning of a donut, and then it had to go into prover or whatever, and then it had to go to this next step and the next step, and then, you know, until you get the good stuff put on the outside of the donut. there's a process there. And I thought about that in relation to how my life has been a process. And these men that I saw in prison, and I'm sure the women that Miriam saw, their life has been a process as well. And until we get that final coat on us, that kind of, I don't know, does that kind of protect the donut too, that when you put that sugary stuff on? I mean, the coat that, yeah, it certainly makes us taste, makes the donuts taste better. And the final coat that we get put on is also something that makes us a little more compatible maybe with other people. And I met one inmate that we were, this was at the, I don't remember what the name of the prison was. It was the one where we just walked in. There was no gate or anything. We just walked in and handed donuts. No, it was, I think, the second day. Work release. And there, it's not, you know, they're not worried about them leaving or anything like that as much. But so we just kind of mingled in with the inmates out in the yard. And this wasn't a grass yard, it was a gravel yard. And there was one young man came up to me, he was in line, and I could see he was really, really troubled. He walked real slow and just had his arms hanging down like this, and his head was down. And I handed him the donuts, and I said, God bless you, brother, or something like that. And he just kind of looked up at me just a little bit, and I could see a tear in his eye. And so I kind of stepped aside with him there, and I said, can I pray with you? And he said, yes. And I don't know what to say. I don't know how to pray for this guy. But I remember on my way down, and prior to going down, I just prayed many times that God would lead me in whatever I was going to be involved in. And I really felt God leading as I prayed for him. And I don't know, I prayed for maybe a minute or something like that. And then I said, in Jesus' name, amen. And he looked at me and he said, don't stop, keep praying. So, you know, I've said everything I know to say already. Otherwise, I would have kept praying. But I did. I prayed more for him, and I don't even remember what I said. But I know that whatever it was I said was a blessing to him. Otherwise, he would have stopped me halfway through the first minute or whatever. And so, you know, that was the kind of experience that I wasn't really expecting to have, and yet I did. And it was that kind of experience, along with many other experiences I had that week, that made me glad that I'm going along to Culpeper. It's Culpeper, right? Yeah. And you know, I know that God has a purpose for us to do this, and I know that there's been not just two or three people, but probably hundreds of people that have been blessed by that. If nothing else, they had a good time to eat. And some of them, I think, just simply wanted to come out and get their donut just for the donut. They didn't want to talk to us. I went along into the to one of the, what do you call it, when we go into the chapel, and anybody that wanted to, I think, or that was allowed to, could come into the chapel. And the chapel was probably about as big as this room, something like that, I think. And I knew I was going to have to talk, and I said, I don't remember, were you along? Yeah, you were in that too, I guess. I said I didn't want to be the first one to speak, because I wanted to kind of see what the other guy said. Not that I was going to repeat what he said, but anyway, when I got up and started talking, there was one guy sitting back here on the right that he was shaking his head yes when I was saying things. And then after it was over, he came right to me and wanted to talk to me, and he said, I can identify so closely to what you were saying. And he thanked me profusely for coming in there and saying, now, if it wouldn't have been me, somebody else would have been talking, and but maybe God wouldn't have reached him through the others. He did though through me. And so I was just grateful that I could be a part of that. So there's, we have purpose in doing this, and I'm thankful for guys like you, Carl, that you somehow see the purpose before you go. And so I have to give him the point, Miriam. He gets the point. So, you know, he's got one point. But I think that argument that you all had, I think that was yours. So I'll put that point over here for you. So you're equal. You're even. But, you know, it takes people that have vision and can see before things are done that there can be a purpose for doing whatever it is that they want to do. And so I'm thankful that Carl had that vision. But, you know, it goes way back before that. And I think about my own life. God has a reason for us being here. He knew us before we were ever even a seed. And he had our lives planned out for us. The thing I don't understand is, why did he ever give us a choice? You know, we could all be singing God's praises, everybody in the world. And, wow, wouldn't that make him happy? And yet, we'd be little robots running around, and we'd be doing that. So we choose, those of us who choose to follow him, he gives us purpose to lead our lives in ways that will help others. And I had to think about when I think about purpose, JMU, I don't know how many of you are JMU fans, but they won big time yesterday, 47-7, against Coastal Carolina, North Carolina. And, you know, if you're a big football fan, you're pretty happy about that, and you're happy to tell people that didn't see the game or maybe aren't even happy about that game, you're happy to tell them about it. Well, are we as happy to tell others about what Christ has done for us in our lives? You know, when you think about, or when I think about that kind of thing, and I think about, I think it's Isaiah 40, let me see here, yeah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And this one, the way this verse says in here, and I don't remember it being this way in other passages or versions that I've read. This one says, a voice of one calling, semicolon. And then it says, in quotes, in the wilderness prepare the way for the Lord, semicolon. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. I always thought of it saying, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, comma, prepare the way for the Lord. You know, this is a little different way of saying it. A voice of one calling. In the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. In a sense, I think a lot of people who are now incarcerated in prison, they were living in a wilderness. In the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Who is to do that? The person who is in the middle of the wilderness? I think it's those of us who know. We go to the wilderness and prisons is a wilderness. And so we want to go there and be excited about what we have to tell these people. Jam, you won. No, we don't want to say it that way. We want to tell them about the Lord, what God has done for us. There's a prayer on this. This was part of my devotions this morning, and I just want to read this prayer. God, the world is so desperate to know you, and I want to give others the opportunity to experience your love. Guide me to those who are open to you, and please give me the courage to share my experience that I've had with you. In Jesus' name, amen. That's a short prayer. Our prayers don't have to be long. God knows even what's in our heart before we pray a prayer. So I'm thankful, Carl, that you invited me. And it's been nice to get to know Miriam. She's a ball of fun when she's not arguing. Thank you.
So Glenn's actual life story goes the whole way to Alabama and back. I mean, we rode together a couple times. He's got a really long life story, which, you know, all of us do. So anyhow, all the volunteers to go along get two shirts every year. Every year it's a different color, shirt to your size, anything we have from small to 3X. Yeah, and this year it's this color, last year was gray, every year is a different color shirt. So you'll end up with two shirts coming home. There's a couple things I would like to say, and I know we're running out of time. They talked about, both Miriam and Glenn talked about, you know, thinking about how to share with the inmates, and they basically just want someone to talk to. And your testimony is the best thing to give them. Just real testimonies, like arguments or whatever, you know, football, you know, whatever. They just are hungry for someone to share with, and they want, you know, a lot of times the best thing to do is listen, or just, and if, you know, you don't need to have a college degree in divinity to share with them your testimony. You just share with them your testimony. So I want to, you know, just say this. These are a couple papers of thanks from the wardens from the prisons we were at. They were thankful. One of them said, "Please let everyone know I'm still thinking about the donuts and how delicious they were, as well as the friendly spirit with each one and everyone. We care. You guys rock and keep spreading God's love." We have different thank you, you know, responses from the prisons, from the wardens. A lot of times they will say, like Glenn mentioned, I mean, some of them, some of the prisons will say that there was more attendance in chapel. Well, if we go to chapel, the last 2 years we didn't go to chapel, but even at the chow hall, there's more inmates come out and share, and they talk about how they really enjoy. And I know some of them didn't have visitors. We had a couple years ago, one of the inmates said that he hadn't had a donut for 26 years, and this, you know, he prayed for a donut and anyhow ended up with a donut. So it's just a touch of God's love in that way, you know, in that way. So I don't want to take up a whole lot more time. But I did. I really wish I could have shared about the first couple years we went. We had problems with equipment, Dale, and some of those problems ended up being a blessing to the inmates. You know, they were able to help us, and they felt really blessed by helping us. We had a mixer breakdown, so we had to use their mixer, and there was a maintenance guy there named Billups Mr. Billups was the maintenance guy, was that at Elmore, and he just enjoyed helping us. He had to help us weld the fryer one day, and then he followed us to the next prison and the next prison following days just to make sure we were getting along all right. And it was a blessing to him. Sometimes our problems, actually, God can use them for his blessing and many other things in life. So that we do already have the date set for next year at in Alabama. We Care Days are October the 10th through the 13th. 8th through the 15th. Okay, so that includes travel time. Yeah, she got it. She set it up. Does all the scheduling, and also, like was mentioned, we're still looking for volunteers to go along to Coffeewood and Culpeper, December the 13th, which is Tuesday, December the 13th. When we go to Alabama, we go through We Care Prison Ministry. When we, here in Virginia, they have a chaplaincy program called Grace Inside, and Grace Inside allowed us to go to Coffeewood. This December the 13th. So if you're interested, I wanted to print out an application and let it here with you. We still need a couple volunteers. I think, it would be good to have a couple more. So if you're interested, you can, talk to someone about that. And, just thank you all for praying for us as we do this. It's all God's work. We just go with it. It's his. I'm a farm boy, grew up farming, and I loved every minute of farming. And now I'm on the street selling donuts, and I'm okay with it. But it was a real struggle for me to transition to where we're at. And that's another whole story. But it's good. I'm fine with it the way it is. So, that's a good question. We Care take care handling all that when we're in Alabama. They get funding. And sometimes it's actually through Dutch Valley has a fund that they contribute to different places. Dutch Valley is a food supply chain, and they donate like half of it from to We Care. And then they also provide housing. When we go, they pay for the Airbnb we stay at or wherever we stay. They have funding for that. They got a lot of contributions or wherever they come from. I don't know. They take care of all that. In Virginia, we're not sure where that's coming from. God will provide. He always does. We don't know yet about that one. There's, I think, 1,300 inmates. We're making 2,100 donuts. December the 13th, we were scheduled to make 2,100 donuts for the inmates and the staff. And we'll just wait and see how God takes care of it. Appreciate that. Oh, the cost of that? The base cost without the cost of the labor, in other words, with volunteers, like free volunteers, labor, without that cost, the base cost is about 75 cents a donut. So it's just going up all the time. They keep going up. Everything is just... Every week our supply is up. I mean our supply cost is up, and so thank you for that. Yeah, God bless you all for letting us share. I love sharing about this work. I mean, it's interesting. I'm sorry. I do want to close with this. There's a guy named Tommy in St. Clair, and he's incarcerated, lifer in Alabama. I mean, in prison terms, he's a lifer. And he wrote a song, and and got to share it actually on YouTube. Somehow, I don't know if any other. Okay. Yeah. 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 It's unusual that an inmate gets to send something out. I mean, that don't happen very often. Anyhow, this happened through. Yeah, and it's an incredible testimony. He sings a song about another captive free. He's singing a song about being free with a life sentence. I mean, there's a lot I wanted to say yet, but I'm going to let... Okay, he's... In our donut crew, a couple years ago, he plays a 12-string guitar, you know, if you know what that is. I mean... And our donut crew had the privilege of purchasing him a brand new guitar a couple years ago, several thousand dollar guitar. And so this is his song. He wrote the song.
Good.
Praise the Lord indeed for men and women who are willing to serve the Lord faithfully, regardless of how he calls them into something as simple as sharing in friendship and love and sharing a donut or two. We can serve the Lord that way. There are a lot of people that are a prisoner of darkness, and they're not behind bars. They're walking around free, but they're a prisoner of darkness because they're bound to the bondage of sin and the world that we live. But Jesus is the light, that there is freedom through the blood of Jesus Christ. Whether we're walking free or behind bars, Jesus is the answer. Praise the Lord that we know Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior and have been set free from the bondage and chaos of sin that is so prevalent in our world today. I think it's a real blessing when we get to hear about the work and the ministry of the Lord through men and women in our day and time. Something as that takes some time. It takes some sacrifice. There's some cost involved. There's some willingness to serve. And that's true of every one of us. God calls us to serve in some capacity or another, to worship him with that which we're able to do, physically, emotionally, spiritually, sharing with others that which we have, the love of God and the message of Jesus Christ that he's made available to each one of us so that we have salvation into eternity, to dwell with a holy and righteous eternal God, a sovereign God who loves and cares for each one of us. Praise God. Thank you again for each one who shared. I know we ran a little long this morning, but that's fine. I appreciate the opportunity to hear the work of the Lord that's taking place through our lives, through the lives of others, in the ministry that proclaims and lifts up the name of the Lord. And we want to continue to do that and worshiping the Lord in spirit and truth and honoring him with our services. Anything else? Any comments, response before we're dismissed this morning? Okay. Yep. Carl and Miriam brought some samples this morning. So I think Bonita has packed them up. So on your way out, I think she's probably got a bag for each family represented here this morning. So you can have a sample of the ministry of Stripes Donut and sharing with love with us this morning that they brought and gave them to us this morning. Let's stand for a closing benediction, then we'll be dismissed. Thank you, Lord, this morning for our time together. We just thank you that as we gather, we can worship you and that we can serve you day in and day out, that you would receive the honor and glory. Lord, just give us the strength, the courage, and the stout of heartness that we would remain faithful to you and to your word in each and every day of our life, that we would proclaim the gospel in word and action and acknowledge you are God and trust you and allow you to guide and direct our paths each and every day, that you receive the honor and glory. Just now, go before each one of us through this coming day and this week. Give us the paths you have for us to travel and to protect us as we faithfully serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.